Welcome to another episode of the Broadgate Social Podcast. I am Scarlett Worthington and I will be your host today. I will be catching up with the insightful Gail Bernard. She is a partner at Astos Services and will be discussing diversity and inclusion within the investment space, as well as the power of communities and more. So hope you enjoy.
Thanks a lot for organising time to do this, Gail. Be really, really interested to kind of get your insight on diversity, equity, and inclusion within the Luxembourg market, specifically within the financial services. So, yeah, I guess a good way just to kick it off. Just can you give us a brief whistle stop tour of your professional journey so far?
Yeah, sure, of course. So, well, I started my journey with Atos in 2008. You know, when I was doing an internship during my master's program in international business law. And I just stayed there after my internship for about 8 years, progressing to the position of director. In 2016, I decided to leave Luxembourg and I started to travel for about 10 months. I got to visit, I don't know, like French West Indies, Cuba, Chile, loved Easter Island. And I went to Polynesia, New Zealand, you know, so it was really, really interesting. I then established a company in project management in Guadeloupe for about a year. Mm-hmm. Then I came back to Luxembourg in 2018. I spent a year in their own services. And then I joined Northern Trust Global Services, where I served as the head of the corporate secretarial department. And then eventually, you know, I returned to Atos, so closing the loop on my journey.
So really, really interesting how you've kind of come complete full circle, really. Yeah, I don't think that many people can say the same, which is very interesting. And what initially inspired you to champion diversity and inclusion in the investment space?
Well, then it began years ago, you know, when I found myself as a young woman in the mutual room during board meetings or whatever client meetings we would have. And it was really common at the time, so that was just the norm. But usually I would find myself being the one being asked to make coffee or, you know, hand out the photocopies.
Even though I was not that. No.
So you see, it was a bit challenging, you know, but I was actually fortunate enough to have male superiors working with me. And they pushed me, they supported me. And that also meant that they stepped in to serve the coffee when I was the one engaging with the client.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
that kind of support as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Interesting. So did it come to you as quite a sudden shock? Like, would you say the way you were being treated by your peers, or was it kind of something you gradually noticed and came to the realization that was, not right at all?
No, it took some time, you know, because you didn't.
Yeah.
It's the norm. You know, you're used
exactly
to it. And then you realize, well, actually no, it's not. So I remember that one meeting where I was doing, you know, all like my job with my client, but basically he asked me, can you do those photocopies for me? I'm like, no, I can't, because I'm actually talking to you about closing your deal.
Exactly.
So, you know, can't do both. And then my manager stepped in and said, yeah, I will do it, no worries. You know, and then I started to think, that's interesting, you know, and then further and further, you look around the room and you say, okay, I'm the only one, but then I was young as well. So I,
yes, exactly.
You know, so you don't really realize, but more and more, we see more senior female, you know, in the boardroom, more senior woman, I don't know what's, you know. And it's really interesting to see also junior looking at us and be like, yeah, that's the norm now. Anyone can make coffee. Anyone can make coffee, you know?
Yeah.
But you will notice it's still a habit.
Still, yeah. Like you say, kind of with being a junior, of course, sometimes that means you don't really particularly notice it. But then, like you say, it kind of gets to a point where you're like, this seems to be a common thread. And yeah, of course, I guess that really kind of ties into making to the fact it's just typically a very male dominated space. A lot of you're kind of coming into a space where like unconsciously, like, oh, this is a little, I'm a bit of an anomaly here. So kind of naturally, I can really understand that happens. And like you say, having those more female leaders can kind of alleviate that initial feeling of not belonging. Really interesting. Yeah. So, and yeah, do tell me, because yeah, you're part of a really, really great networking group, Women in Asset Servicing, a really good community that is quite new, isn't it?
It is new. We launched it, well, officially in November last year. We had our first inaugural event in January this year. I am very happy to be part of it, to be honest. I didn't expect it as such. But when my friend, you know, Miriam came to me with the idea of establishing the Luxembourg chapter, I was like, yeah, sure, of course. Let's do it, you know. And, you know, when we did the inaugural event, we had a lot of women coming and saying, that's great, because we didn't have that where it's service.
Yeah.
You have great associations and groups, you know, legal. You have Women in Finance, you have LILA, you have Girls in Tech, you have so many great things. But not one specializing in asset servicing. So they were really, you know, really enthusiastic about it, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's really important. It's really important to have a network of your niche, because it's so specific. So building that network, I bet, yeah, is, you know, absolutely brilliant to have. So yeah, how would you say that being a part of a community like that, how has that enhanced your everyday working experience?
It's working really well.
good to hear.
No, I mean, I'm really happy, maybe not surprised, but, you know, I'm just realizing how great it is and how everybody's willing to participate. Because everybody so went to the, so we had a lot of women come to the event. We got to talk, exchange contact, exchange experiences, you know, which was really, really interesting. But also now I find myself on the day to day. Sometimes I need a contact that I don't have in a custody bank or in a manco or whatever. And then now I can just, you know, text this person that I know work there and say, hey, do you have contacts? Do you have a name for me? And they will play the game. So it's great. And that goes both ways, you know, when they need something.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You know, very happy to help. And this is really working. I mean,
yeah.
No, great stuff. I was really, don't know what the right word is, but you know, when we launched WISE Luxembourg, all the groups just welcomed us, you know, with open arms. They reached out to us. And they were like, oh, you know, there's this event, do you want to participate with us? Or, you know, we had the 2024 Women Power Fest in Luxembourg for International Women's Day. They included us. They were like, do you want to participate? Yes, great, let's do it. And yeah. I think it's amazing. We need that kind of support. Yep.
Oh, 100%. And like you did say, in terms of your working life, it gives you with easy network. So when you have something you need a little bit of help with, genuinely, you can kind of reach out there, and also just knowing that people are there to do that, both for you and likewise. As yeah, definitely. There's definitely no cons there, really. All right. Brilliant. And over your career, really, have you noticed like many positive changes in terms of gender representation over, let's say, like the last 10 years in the Luxembourg financial space, just to be specific?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think there's been a noticeable shift, you know, in gender representation in the financial sector. I think one of the big milestones was, you know, the launch of the Diversity Charter Luxembourg, which started in 2012, so, you know, 12 years ago already. And it's really a national commitment to encourage organizations in Luxembourg, so not only finance, but in general, to promote diversity and to implement initiatives that support legal requirements. I think now they have roughly 290 signatories. No, I think it's working great. And then now, more specifically, we had the launch of the charter for Women in Finance Charter in Luxembourg last year. And then, well, when you think about it, Luxembourg is a financial hub, right? Considering size, its significance. I think it's great that we have that now. There is over 60,000 people working in the financial sector, women and men all together. And so, yeah, it's one of the largest employers in Luxembourg. So it was about time to do something specifically for finance. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great way also to lead by example, you know, and set the bar.
Exactly.
promoting gender equality.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, because I know when there's like a legal, when there is a charter in place, it can often come across as like boxes need to be ticked. But these things do need to, I think these things do need to be in place for good, like good and solid DEI to actually happen. So yeah. would you say it was that kind of made a positive impact on representation within the space?
No, I think it helped. Definitely.
Yeah.
Helped. I think we're also lucky enough that Luxembourg is a small country. It's very active, very dynamic. You know, it moves with its time, if you will. So Luxembourg has always been promoting those kind of initiatives.
It's good to see. Really good to see that it is a change. Did you notice it, so to say, at like a specific time, or has it really kind of been a gradual progression?
So for me personally, was really gradual. Or we have all those initiatives, but it's working the day to day, you know, and being promoted myself, then I could also promote other women, and that's how it goes as well. I had great mentors, but I think it came gradually. I didn't see, you know, one day where, oh,
no,
40% women or 60% or whatever. But it's true that we need those. How would you maybe call it, regulatory?
Regulatory requirements. Yeah,
exactly. To get there, but it's just a push.
Of course, yeah, and that's the thing. I think a push kind of needs to carry on. Of course, things have massively gotten better, which is great. But you know, still, you still always got a champion for it to, you know, truly get to that equal space. Going on from that, how would you say we create a space for an open dialogue around representation, and like how could we frame that narrative in your opinion?
Super hard.
No,
I think there's a few points. Obviously, you need to create a safe space, you know,
always,
where people can feel welcome and valued. You need to foster an environment where people can freely share their thoughts, can really talk without the fear of being judged or of the fear of any backlash. Yeah.
Yes.
So, as I said, hard, because how do you really do that in the day-to-day? I think you need to have ground rules, straight rules, and have a zero tolerance policy for any judgment and backlash, as I mentioned. You need to have to address, when you notice something or you see something, you need to address it immediately. I think, and then, you know, that would lead to more people doing it as well, and less people having those type of either behaviors or words or, you know, and then that would encourage other people to talk more freely. I think also you need to listen actively. You need to be empathetic about other people's experience, about other people's stories, and you need to make them heard so other people can relate to their experience as well. Then we can talk about education, raising awareness, obviously, you know. There's a lot of things going on for the past years, but I think it's really great. You know, we see seminars, we see workshops, we see webinars, we see so many things, so many tools that could, you know, really help us in increasing awareness, you know, and make us understand that, well, there's not just us. There's so many other people, so many of your experiences, you know, so we definitely need to work on that. And then maybe the last point would be, you know, challenge stereotypes and biases. Yes. We're human. We're biased.
Yeah.
We know that. You know, we can have how many trainings we want about biases. I think it's all about how to address them. It's just about maybe take a step back and reflect on your assumptions. Work maybe towards a more nuanced understanding of diversity and identity. And then by breaking down those barriers, I think we can really create more inclusive, you know, space for everyone.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, you have kind of really hit the nail on the head there. Those, I think, yeah, those things, like, I think, yeah, definitely are the keys really. And I'm not going to say it's that easy, but in terms of, but like theoretically, that's, you know, implementing those, then you're gonna have a diverse team who feel valued and whose, you know, skills are being used to the best of their ability. I think, you know, I think that absolutely goes without saying. So generally, kind of like going on from that, and you know, creating a space, kind of planting a seed of leadership, I guess, early on. Financial services specifically, they have kind of long suffered from a leaky funnel, so to say. Women being in the room, being in the space, but then when it gets to the chance of progression, something seems to go wrong along the way. So I think the last statistic was in Luxembourg, it's 27% of women represent upper management within the financial services. I think that was the last statistic. So what do you think we can do to prevent this and, you know, make leadership roles more accessible to women going forward?
That's actually a very good question. I think maybe we can shift, you know, from, we can talk about career advancement, like I mentioned before, promoting
women. Yeah.
We will agree that we want to be competent as well. You know,
obviously.
But I think we also should talk about recruiting efforts. We should also, companies should prioritize initiatives aimed at supporting women's progression through, you know, the various stages of their careers, and also depending on their timeline or their own, you know, timing, that's their choices, you know. I read an article actually that was published in the Harvard Business Review in 2021 that actually is on point for what we're discussing. It was written by Siri Shinazi, Iris Bonnet, and Oliver Hauser. And they present the concept of GPP, which is gender proportionality principle. So basically what it says, you should have at each level within an organization, it should reflect the gender composition of the level below. So if you take the usual hierarchy, junior, senior, manager, manager level should represent the gender composition of the senior level. Senior level should represent the composition of the junior level. And you go from there. And they actually worked with different organizations, and they reported that GPP helped achieve sustainable and more predictable improvement, you know, in gender equality across those organizations and those ranks. So it's one thing, but it's, you know, it's a first step. And I think it's seeing things differently, as I mentioned before, you need to promote that amount. We all need to work around all that. And as we just said before, foster a more inclusive and diverse environment.
Really interesting report. Like you say, it's kind of needs to be reflected in the business for, of course, even then to be an option. So that's the thing. It's the process of building a diverse workforce, which will then of course take heed in the future. So absolutely. Mm-hmm. Final question to close the conversation off. What would be your best piece of advice to your future self?
Well, I'd say stop doubting yourself, you know, go for it. Just do it.
Very simple, but very, very true. I feel very similar. That's always, I think, always the best thing to kind of go forward to where you want to be. Just no doubt, you've got to where you are, of course, by being brilliant in your field. So no need to doubt your capabilities at all. All right, amazing. Well, thank you so much, Gail. This was really, really interesting, really insightful conversation. I think even like speaking about what's going on in the market is, you know, still like we said, so important to do. Still so good to acknowledge kind of good things have been done, but also really good to acknowledge as well what pushes need to be made to, you know, get to that really better future. Is there kind of like anything you'd like to say about like where to find women in asset servicing for perhaps people who wanted to get involved, or is there an event coming up soon?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So yeah, you can join us on LinkedIn. You know, you can have a look. There is the Wise London, that is the pioneer. And then we have the Luxembourg chapter. You can register on LinkedIn, and you'll be part of our newsletter, and you'll be part of your contact details. But also, our next event will be on the 25th of April. It will be presented by Giulia Iannucci, who is actually a very good example of women entrepreneur. She set up her own company, Know Thy Brand, and it will be about personal branding. So the invite for the event should go today. So
there we go.
Send today to all our contacts, and we'll obviously share it on LinkedIn.
Amazing. Yeah, that sounds like a really, really interesting event. So yeah, brilliant. Well, yeah, thank you so much for your time again.
No, thank you so much. That was great.
Thank you very much for listening. And if you are after more insights into the world of financial services, or if you yourself need support from our specialist recruitment consultants, just visit us at www.broadgatestaffing.com. Until next time.